Parashas Bo, Tav Shinayin Vav. So Ramesha,
I got a saver recently. I call up Lakewood every once in a while. I say, just, you know, send me some new Chumash Svarim. So he sent me this saver called Kol Ram. Kol Ram is Ramesha's drushes that he gave. So it's not the Darish Moshe. It's everything else that's not in the Darish Moshe. Moshe gave a lot of shmuzin in different places, and he spoke at dinners, and he gave. And someone went around writing up everything Moshe said, and they put it malaket at al Torah. So Moshe says over there, he asked the basic kasha. First pasuk, V'yom Hashem Moshe boy apare. Rashi says the hisra boy, to give him hasra, to warn him. So Moshe says, Tamua, what do you mean? Why would he give him a warning at this point? At this point, Pari already lost his Bechira. He can't be anymore choose not to send out Klaiso. So what's the point of the Hasra? What are you gaining with the Hasra? That's Moshe's kasha. So Moshe says, Gevaldik Chiddush. He says that it's not so true, this statement, that Pari had no choice anymore. He says, it's true, Pari couldn't turn back Miras HaOinish. And sometimes we don't do an aver because we're scared of the Einish. And here the Einish was right in front of Pyro's face, and nonetheless he continued, it's because he lost that Bechira. Yes, that is true. He lost that ability to choose based on Yiras HaOinish. But he could have still chosen, says Ramesha, Mitoich HaKara B'Bara Olam. If Pyro would have come to the point of realizing there's a creator, from that perspective, he could have done tshuva. So Moshe says that was the pshat in the hasra. The hasra to Paro was that he has an ability to change. He has an ability to do tshuva, but it'll only come from an hakara in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not from Yiras HaOinish. So he says, give him hasra, kani echbati his liboy, that because I was mechabed his liboy, therefore he won't be able to turn around for the yira. But there's still a point of the hasra because he can have that hakara. And that's why Moshe says the pshat in the Rambam. The Rambam writes, in Hilchos Tshuva, there are various that a person's over and a Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't allow him to do tshuva for them. Like Echta Va'ashu, I'm going to do an Avera and then I'll do tshuva. Such a person don't allow him to do tshuva. But a few halachas later, the Rambam writes that all these things that a person, if he did tshuva, he's makabel. So what do you mean? Could he not do tshuva or he can do tshuva? So Moshe says the same thing. That he won't, it will be taken away from him the ability to do tshuva mitoch yiras ha'inish. But he still always has an opportunity to do tshuva by recognizing the Bara Olam. So, a step further on this, where Sternbach writes on the next pasuk, "Leman tesaper ba'izne bincha ben bincha." It's a sheri salalti b'mitzrayim. You have an avoda to tell over to your children and your grandchildren that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu did b'mitzrayim. So Sternbach says, "What exactly are you telling over to your kids here?" And he starts off asking, "How is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically locked the darke atshuva and mechazik the lev of Paro? What exactly, what was the means over here of getting Paro not to be able to do tshuva?" So Shtermos says, it's really a natural course of events. And that is, if a person does averis, he gets engulfed in tumah. When you're engulfed in tumah, you cannot see out of that thickness that you yourself created around you. And the more you're engulfed in that averis, then the thicker and thicker that veil becomes, and you will not be able to do tshuva. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Hichbati es liboy, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying is that I allowed the tumah that he created to stay with him, I didn't allow him to remove it. It's there, and therefore Paro himself got stuck in his own tumah. So on that, Leman, Tesaper bo'izne bincha ben bincha, that's the Musar Hask you have to give over to your kids to tell them, not just on Leil HaSeder, the whole year. You have to teach them that Paro got stuck, Hichbati es liboy, because he didn't aver. If you do averes, you will be far harder and harder for you to see the truth. It's just a matter of removing that veil. It's not the pshat that you that you HaKadosh Baruch Hu is abstaining, not allowing you to do tshuva. It's that you're creating the own matzah for yourself that you have now allowed tumah to engulf you. And that's why even the mitzvah at this point started making fun of Paro, because Paro became a melech hafachfachu. He's changing, not to send them out, yes send them out, not send them out, because Paro at this point looked like he had no choice anymore. That's what happens to such a person who Lamaisa can't see. If you get yourself so dark, the glasses, because of the tumas and achanam, you can't see. I did see, it's also a Musa Haskell. What's a pshat? Rashi says, what's the word he salalti? That I sachati, I played with Mitzrayim, I played with Paro. What did I mean, I played with him? I heard a pshat. Kodesh Baruch Hu sends Moshe to Paro to tell him what? Sholach Hazami, send my nation. That exactly was the Kodesh Baruch Hu basically having a good joke with Paro. Paro, I want to pretend that you're a man de Omer. I want to pretend that you're someone worthwhile to speak to. You're nothing from nothing. But I'm going to speak to you as if you have a day. Send my people. Please send my people. Right? The Paro's going to say no, and I'll have a conversation with you. No. That's already a game, says the Kodesh Baruch Hu. There's no conversation with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. The whole conversation with Paro was just, Sasher Hisalauti. You should know, I played with Paro. He should think. He's a man de Omer. A person shouldn't think he's such a man de Omer in this world. If you have a day at the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's a sachakti.
What we added to
for like we said about Achashverosh also, is a Melech HaFafchan. He changes his mind back and forth. So the Mitzvim were making fun of Paro, he's changing his mind all the time. So he's saying that's because Paro himself, once the Tuma got a hold of him, he mamash had no choice. Yomar lem yikein Hashem mochen kasher shachaschem v'estabchem ru'u ki ro'a neged p'neichem. Now you have a statement here that Rashi describes. What was Paro saying? Paro says, I see that the Sagnina Shali, I see that a Koychav Oila the Kreuzchum of Midbar, there's going to be a certain Koychav that goes up in the Midbar, who Simon Dom Vehariga, it's going to show there's going to be death in the Midbar. We find this Nebuch very common by true Rishoyim, that they come with the Taina of compassion. I'm the compassionate one. Paro says to Moshe, Moshe, you want to take them out, these children, out to the Midbar? Look what's going to happen. I see my sins going to be. They're going to be killed out there. Have a little rachmanis, Moshe. What's going on over here? I'm the Melech Rachman. You're the one who's trying to drive these kids out, and they're going to die out on the Midbar. You're the Rasha in this case. How the Rishayim have this way of manipulating their hashkafa. They should look like their big Rachman. Leiro ish es achav, leikamu ish mitachtov. So this is the Chayshach. So the Chiddush HaArim say, the Hasidim say, that the biggest choshech there is v'leiro ish es achav. And a person can't see his friend, he can't see a friend that's in need, v'leiro ish es achav, that's the biggest choshech there is. So the Avnei Ezel Sefer, as I quoted, says, the Midrash says, how thick was this choshech? It was the thickness of ka'eve diner zov, like the thickness of a gold coin. He says, that's usually the cause of why a person can't see his friend. There's a lot of finance in between seeing your friend in need. Dober nobo eiz ne'aom v'yishalu ish me'esra'eo v'isham esra'u. So klei kesef u'klei zov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks, please, Rashi say, ein nolashem bakasha, please go and get this stuff. Why? Says Rashi, shlo yomo iso tzadik, sh'avrom shouldn't say, obdom v'ino isham kiyem behem. You only fulfilled in them the negative, you didn't fulfill with them the Yitzah B'chush Godo, so I'm asking you to go, please take. And everyone asks, what's the please that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to ask Chayas to please go take? So on one hand, I found a sefer called Olomo Shel Abba, Asher Jungreis, and he quotes from his, he heard the shame of Shimshon Wertheimer, the Chochmei Astreich, who set up Shat like this. That Klai Yisrael exists and is basically Mekuyam, could exist based on different factors. So we find very much in our history that when we suffered, nonetheless we were able to, Yiddishkeit flourished. Times of Huzer, Yehuda Bar Eloi, that Shishov, Miskansim, they were covered with one talus, and that was the time there was so much Torah was known, Midon Ba'aber Shavo. Klai Yisrael knew so much Torah. So that's a point that the suffering was Mekayim Klai Yisrael. The suffering helped Klai Yisrael exist and flourish. So what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying to Klai Yisrael, that you shouldn't be that just, Avram shouldn't say that I only let you flourish from a time of negativity. I want you to also flourish in a time of Ruchush Gadol. That should also be a Kiyum. What means Shaloi Kiyum Bam? It didn't exist upon it. There wasn't a basis for existence. And that I don't want to say that. I want them to say just like va'avdu v'ino isam kiyam behem, the suffering also helped them flourish. Like we see Mitzrayim, how much they grew. I also want to be yotze b'chush gadol, should also be kiyum behem. It also is a kiyum for Klai Yisrael, fulfillment for Klai Yisrael. They should exist even in those times, be flourish in their Yiddishkeit. But there's a word from Rav Sorotzkin. Rav Zalman Sorotzkin says a word, and I'm going to give you a little hakdama over here, a historical perspective of what this midrash is talking about. In 1952, the state of Israel suffered its worst riots in the history that it knew at that time. At such an extent that hundreds of people were arrested, there were letter bombs being sent, one policeman was even killed. What was this huge amount of unrest? Where was it? Where did it come from? Because there was something going on that was going to be signed called the Haskem Hashilumim. The Haskem Hashilumim was the agreement for reparations. It was a time when the state of Israel was agreeing to accept from Germany payment and all the infrastructure they received over the years based on what happened in the war. And the machlekes, the vicious machlekes turned it to be, in Eretz Yisrael was based on the following perspective. On one hand, the people who wanted it to sign felt that, look what the Nazis did to us, just because they were our murderers, they shouldn't be our yoshim. They shouldn't inherit our money. They should have to take a pay up. Let's get whatever we can out of them. On the other hand, the people who were arguing so strongly against it felt that it shouldn't look like we're taking a kofer for the nefesh, like they're actually redeeming themselves, that they should basically get rid of their guilty feeling. That we never want to let Nazi Germany do. And therefore, we shouldn't take a penny from them. So, says Rav Sorotzkin, that he felt was also going on in all these Yidins. This exact ideas back and forth were going amongst the Yidin also. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants them to take the Rechush Godel out of Mitzrayim. How many of our children got killed, thrown into the Nile, put into the bricks? So many of them were killed. We should take money that the Mitzrayim should feel that they patter themselves for what they did to us? No, we don't want to take a penny. So to that, the Midrash is saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't tell Klai Yisrael, you must take. He says, you're right, HaKadosh Klai Yisrael, I feel for you. I understand your feeling. Please take. I'm asking you a favor, take. Take for me? We're going on the place where they asked. They knew where it was in the Choshech. They didn't take it. They just knew, in case they said, no, we know where it is. But he puts this interesting perspective on it, Sorotzkin, that was the Bakosha Kadosh Baruch was asking. I understand it goes against every grain in your body right now to take this. I'm asking you, please. Please, for me, take it, so Avram could not have a time.
Also, one thought, I'm not sure where, that this Daber Na'at is referred to, Rafikid Egel, when Moshe is praying to save Klal Yisrael.
Yeah.
Because either race me, I am a Chayim, I'm a Sivrach. So Moshe is saying, Hashem, Rafikid Egel, said about Rafikid Egel, but Egel is Kesav Zahav. If you said Daber Na'at, Ozmi Ha'am, then they should take Kesav Zahav. So if that's the time, then the Chayim Na'at raised this Na'at.
Really? Very nice.
I just don't remember where I saw it.
That's very nice.
4 years ago.
It's your fault. Achodesh zeh lechem, oish chadoshim, rishonim lechem, nechodesh yashon. Achodesh zeh lechem, what's the diak achodesh hazeh? Rashi has an arichus there that I saw of Shulchan Eliyahu Baruch Finkel. He says, he quotes Rabbeinu Bechaya. Rabbeinu Bechaya says, I think we quoted this, one of the Ger Rebbe's once, that for 40 years in the Midbar, Klai Yisrael did not see the moon. They were mukuf in the Anan Yaakov. So for 40 years, they had to keep Cheshbin, they kept the calendar based on a Cheshbin. They were not able to mekadesh es Achodesh. So therefore, it's very meduyak. Achodesh hazeh lechem, Klai Yisrael. This is going to be the one and only moon you're going to see for 40 years. So this moon, I'm showing you, re'ev kadesh, mekadesh this Chodesh. Some of you might even not live to see the next moon because you're going to be living in the Anan Yaakov. Rav Sternbach takes this and develops a beautiful idea over here. He says we have to, even though we know it, we have to really internalize it. And sometimes it's hard by the 3-day yontifs. Why? He says because you have to know that Mekadesh al pi hareiyah is so much greater than Mekadesh al pi the Cheshbon. Even though nowadays we know the Cheshbon and maybe it's even better, one might say, to know the Cheshbon then to decide your Mekadesh al Piri'iyah, it could be cloudy, or whatever it is, you might not get it right. And the answer is, that's not what a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants. A Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to get it right. A Kodesh Baruch Hu wants us to Mekadesh al Piri'iyah. And that's why he says we have 2 days Yontif even nowadays. It's to teach us that we're losing out. We're not doing it right. We might know exactly what day it is better than they ever knew. That's not true. The day is not dictated based on the cheshbon. It's not dictated exactly on where the moon is. That's not the what we're trying to get at. So, 2 day Yontif. And a Hanami, you should know of. Yeah, what's his name holds? That's because of the minhag, but of. Chaim Kessler doesn't do malacha the second day. Yisro Chag doesn't do malacha. Well, right. But that's for Yisro Chag, different reason. But anyway, at least we have a zecher for it in Chutz Laaretz. It's to teach us that's not, you know, sometimes you go through a Suda Yontif, you're thinking of why do we have, we know when it is, we know when it is. The answer is you don't know what it is. That's not, the pshat is not that you know when it is. The pshat is you have to mekadesh al pi hari'iyah. Yochanan Wasserman, in Kavitz Ma'amaris, says that a Kodesh Baruch Hu tells them, "Vayetzi Beit Mitzrayim b'layla hazeh v'keisiko b'chor Beit Mitzrayim adama be'emo v'chol Elohei Mitzrayim eseh shvotim." That I'm also going to eradicate the Elohei Mitzrayim, the gods of the Egyptians. So Yochanan says, what's the chiddush over here? But he said the chiddush of Elohei Mitzrayim is all the idealisms that crop up in every generation that can really destroy so many societies. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing them. He says, by socialists, so who did HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring up to lead the socialist movement? Hitler, Yimach Shemay. Communists, who did HaKadosh Baruch Hu want to bring up to show them how bad communism was? Stalin. He says, that's what I mean. B'chol Elohei Mitzrayim Eseh Shvatim. But I'm going to show you how you can disprove yourself, all your idealisms that you have, that you create them as your own gods, that this is the way you're supposed to run the world. I'll show you where that leads you to, and that's what it means, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that will punish their gods. Those idealisms which they make into gods are going to be struck down by themselves, as we see throughout history. So you have to put the dam on the inside by your house. Why? It's a sign for you and not for others. Says Sternbach in Tam Vadas that the reason you put the blood on the inside is to teach you that a yid has to be Moshe Nefesh, not just outside of his house. He has to be Moshe Nefesh also inside of his house. You put the blood on the inside of your house, teach you that my house is also a place I have to be Moshe Nefesh. It's also a place I have to be kavei itim l'tayra. I don't just patch myself when I do outside. I have to mechaz myself when I do inside. He said the famous var from the Brisker Rav, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says, Ma'asi Lava, Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to go to the Umas Ha'olam and says, what were you doing this whole your whole lifetime, all these generations? What have you been doing? He said, well, we built roads, we built bridges, we built all these things. What do we build it for? Not for ourselves. We built it for the Yidins. They can travel, they can go learn Torah. That's who we did it for. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, "Kol ma'ashis natzorech atzmechem asisim." No, you did it for yourselves. And he says, "Klum yesh bechem zois," because I can prove it to you, because you guys didn't learn Torah yourselves. So the Brisker Rav asked, "They never said they learned Torah. They said we built things for the Yidden so they can learn Torah. We had chashivas of Torah, we didn't learn Torah." Said the Brisker Rav, "There's no such thing. There's no such thing a person can claim I have chashivas of Torah and him himself doesn't set aside time to learn Torah. That can't be." Chashivas HaTorah means it has to be in your own home. You have to be Moshe Nefesh, not just an askan b'chutz to do things for others. Kodesh Baruch Hu wants us, ourselves, to mechazik ourselves in our own Liman HaTorah. I once heard Moshe Shapiro speak at the AJOP convention. The AJOP convention was for Kiruv professionals. And in Baltimore, many years ago, Moshe has very famous tapes called the AJOP tapes. I got a hold of them once. And over there, he was giving mussar to these Kiruv professionals. He's telling them, you have no tour not to be Oisek in Torah. You have no tour not to have a haravanya yourself and learn. Just because you're doing kiruv to others, therefore you don't have to mechazik yourself, says Ramesh, that's not true at all. That even if you think you're doing such a wonderful thing, you have a benet manim, you have time off, you have your storm, you have to learn yourself to mechazik yourself and you leave it out there. Someone showed me last week, who was here at the Milman Bar Mitzvah, he happened to open up the beginning of last week's parasha of Midrash Rabbah, and the Midrash Rabbah says, "Hamisaske b'tzorichei tzibur meshachech talmudu." Powerful line. The person who is oisik in tzorichei tzibur is going to forget his learning. Things arrive from Yeshiva Levi. We were claiming, what's the pshat? What does it mean? Why didn't you have a shmir? If you're oisik in tzorichei tzibur, why would you forget your learning? I think it very fits in very well with this, because the person who is oisik tzorichei tzibur often has excuses why he doesn't have to grow in his own learning. I'm helping others. I'm an askan. I'm doing so much for the community. But the vart of putting the dam in the inside of your house is teaching you that you have no patur not to be moist and nefesh yourself in your own house. It's not just the outside work that has to get done. It's also on the inside. A person can't patur himself off.
It seems like from the Lashon of this piece that he's not just speaking about askanim who are pure professionals, but he's about askanim balabatim, because
yes, he does.
Have excessive zahav,
that Gemara and about Azar.
Building up communities and spending money. So
and Echanami. No, that Ramesh Shapiro said that about the Ajap. That was in our Sturmbach. But Echanami is both. It's any kind of askan, just we don't have a, just because a person's Isaac, and what's good, and what's wonderful, and building clients, so there's no patur not to chazg yourself in your own money. Yochum paro lailahu v'chol avodah v'chol mitzrayim v'titzaka gadol v'mitzrayim. So Rashi says, v'yochum paro, Rashi says a word which l'chayra needs an explanation. He says, Paro got up, maybe Tosa got up from his bed. Okay, where else can he get up from? Why is Rashi telling you he got up from his bed? So the Kotzker says, you know, nowadays we have people who claim they're apikorsim. They don't believe. We all know when it comes to atheists, no atheists in a foxhole, as soon as things are going wrong, they themselves can pull out a tehillim, they themselves are davening to the Ribbono Shel Olam. What Torah is telling you right here, Rashi is telling you, that Paro was a real apikurus. This is what you don't see nowadays. A true, true apikurus. 9 makas that came verbatim the way that Kodesh Baruch Hu said it was going to come, came one after another after another. The final one's going to be, the Bechor are going to die, you're a Bechor. You're going to die. What does Paro do? He goes to sleep in his bed. Rashi says, you're coming me tussle. Such an apikurus that he can go to sleep that night in his bed. That's the word of that one word of Rashi. You can have such a person. He's teaching you the oimik of what a real apikurus is. A person can still so blatantly deny the Ribbono Shel Olam. And one more kotzker, he says on the halachas of Korban Pesach, chol ben necher lo yochal boy. When it comes to the Korban Pesach, a ben necher, a person who's basically gone against the Torah, cannot eat from the Korban Pesach. So ask the kotzker, why is it comes to Yom Kippur? We invite in all the Avrayonim to come daven with us. That's how we start off the Yom Kippur night. And when it comes to the Korban Pesach, we're excluding this guy out. So the Kotzker says, when it comes to the beginning of Yom Kippur, you're inviting him in for what? You're inviting him to join you to fast. So that, you can invite these people in. When it comes to the Korban Pesach, what's going on? You're inviting them for a barbecue. You're roasting out this thing. He says, he's not going to have Lishma over there to come join you. For that, you have no heter. You can't bring him into that. That's not going to be a Shalishma Balishma. Yom Kippur, okay, Epis. But by Karim Pesach, that stench, that food, is not going to allow him to have the proper kavanas. It comes to Tfilin, the end of the parasha. So Moshe, in the Dorish Moshe, Moshe says that the reason you put on Tfilin on the Yad Smoil is not because it's closer to the heart. Because if that was true, then even a lefty should put it on the left side also. Lefties don't have the heart on the other side, right? So the reason we put it on the left side is because it's the weaker hand, and therefore a lefty will put it on his right hand. So what's the pshat of doing the mitzvah of tefillin on the weaker hand? So he says, it's teaching you that there are certain mitzvahs and certain opportunities in life which make things a little difficult. Times it's difficult to do what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants you to do. And the word in tefillin is that you have to mechazik dapka those things which seem difficult. And that gives the koyach, the tefillin are giving the koyach to those weak hands where you don't have the strength to overcome it, the koyach ha-tefillin. But says Rav Moshe, that comes from your machshava. The ability to overcome something difficult will often come because you will use your machshava to decide what's right and what's wrong. And that's why I put tefillin on the Rosh also. The tefillin on the Rosh protects you the tefillin shel yad. But Rav Moshe says, why do you put the tefillin shel yad on first? If what he's saying is true, you should put the tefillin shel yad on first, and that'll help you in the cases, the difficult cases. Oh, you put on the tefillin shel yad after. So Rav Moshe says to teach you that you can't wait to understand it before you do it. That you can't wait for it. You got to do what's right first. You can hopefully use your machshava to do what's right. Nasav and Ishma. First you got to do, and then you got to listen. So even if your machshava is going to be delayed in trying to convince you what's right, you still got to do what's right. That you have no heter to wait until the logic kicks in. That's the vart of tefillin shel yad before the tefillin shel rosh. And just to end, there's a beautiful ha'ara from Yerucham Levovitz. In the Das Torah, he says the famous Gemara, which tells us that what's letoy tafos? What kind of word is letoy tafos? Tat, the kasvi shtayim, pas, the afriki shtayim. The different languages, these things mean two. So tat means two in kasvi, and shtayim, and pas means two in afriki. And that's how you know the four batim of the tefillin. So everyone asks, why do you have to go there to hear what two is? We have a whole Lashon HaKodesh over here. I have to go to Africa to get my pshat in tefillin. So he says that the pshat is that by the goyim, there's certain words that were left from the time of before the Migdal Babel. And that's what the Torah is pointing out over here. That it's a chiddush that these words which were used to create the world. These were part of words that used to create the world, and they were taken and given to these nations as from before Migdal Babel. And therefore, the Torah is basically trying to pull that all back together in the Torah. And he says this is the one language that we had one language spoken the whole time. The whole world speaking one language. He says Adrav from Zeh Be'emes Moifes Godol. The fact that the Torah is not trying to teach you that in certain languages you say it, and therefore we're going to borrow from those languages to make up the number four over here. The Torah is telling you is that all those languages have a source in the Torah, and these words all came from the Torah, and those are the ultimate building blocks of the Torah, and that's revealing to you just in the Hilchos Tefillin, in the words of Tefillin over here. Good Shabbos.